Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Remember, Ask D-Mace coming up at around 12:30. So if you have questions for Derek, you can get them in on our text line right now at 615-737-1025. The early bird gets the question in for Derek. So if you want to text us now, you can at 615-737-1025. Also, I want to make you weather aware that there is a severe thunderstorm on its way. I think it'll hit our area within the next hour. So just be weather aware if you are on the roads.
A couple waves of it as I looked, and you mentioned in the last segment the Vanderbilt baseball series with Alabama. There's going to be some storms. I think they've got to dodge and play around. Of course, they have the turf at the Hawk, so they'll probably get them in there. But those of us that might be attending the games or some of the games might have to be ready for a little precip.
You going to wear a
poncho?
A poncho or a raincoat?
I go with the raincoat. I've got the I've got the raincoat.
Oh, you got the raincoat.
Yeah,
okay.
I think I'll be. This is what I would wear.
With a hood on it?
Yeah. Okay. I thought you were going to ask me if I was going to deck myself out in my old jersey or something, because it
you
is
should.
It is Vanderbilt baseball alumni.
You should. There you go, man.
So I might have to slide in there.
Get the old jersey out.
And make it fit still? Because you probably was a little ripped back then. Can you fit it?
it's a little tight. I feel a little tight.
So just keep that in mind if you're out at the Vanderbilt game later. It's going to rain. And if you're on the roads, just be cognizant of it. We want you to be safe. So we know that during NFL draft season, teams lie to us, right? Mm-hmm. They mislead. They obfuscate. That's another big fancy word. But once the draft arrives, they have to tell the truth. So what messages do teams send once they finally had to put their money where their mouth was at the NFL draft? And that is a question that Robert Mays and Field Yates, Robert Mays of The Athletic, Field Yates of ESPN, that is the question that they set out to answer on the latest episode of The Athletic Football Show. So here is what Robert Mays and Field Yates said about what the Titans draft, what message it sent.
The message I think the Titans sent is, we know we screwed up over the last couple years and we're sorry. If you look at what they did, they, on a bunch of different levels, I think this is true, right? Yeah. The quarterback thing, we screwed up. We misjudged the quarterback position over the last couple of years. We're going to fix that. That was obvious. We knew they were going to do that. But even some of the other things that they did. So you look back over the last 2 years, the Titans haven't had a third round pick in either of the last two drafts. Last year and then coming into this year's draft. The third round pick they gave up in 2024 was part of the Will Levis trade. And then coming into this year's draft, they didn't have a fourth or third round pick because they traded for Legarius Sneed last year. And among all the things that the Titans did last offseason, I think a lot of them were misguided. The amount of money they spent on free agents, but it was positional resources. Like, do we need a third round pick and a contract extension for Legarius Sneed based on where we currently are as a team? Probably not. And so I think the over-aggressiveness that we saw from them over the last couple of years and them giving away picks, you saw them atone for that a little bit. Like them moving back in the second round and then picking up a third round pick as part of that and then getting an additional fourth round pick somewhere along the way. I think this was, we know that we need to be responsible based on where we are in the process right now, and we're going to do that.
So that was Robert Mays, and Field Yates was there too, but that was Robert Mays. Now, I heard that clip and I figured that Willie, as he's listening to this, might say, well, they didn't trade the number one overall pick. But what did you make of that analysis? I'm always fascinated by
somebody from afar.
Exactly. So what were your thoughts on Robert May's take on the message that the Titans draft sent?
I don't think he's far off, for you know, especially without getting into the weeds. But I think from a 50,000-foot view, that's a fair assessment of what they tried to do with this draft. I don't disagree with what he said. And these aren't the guys who made those decisions that led them into that point. other than Chad Brinker on some level, right?
Yeah. I mean, listen, this team is, they're at a point right now where, and I said this earlier, where it's almost like a clean slate for this team. And they get an opportunity, or Borgonzi and Brinker, they get an opportunity to reshape this organization. I think that's why it was critical and pivotal for them to get their franchise quarterback. And they believe Cam Ward is that guy, because now what they're doing is they're reshaping this organization. They're trying to establish who they are as a front office with this draft. You look at some of the moves that they made, and obviously not trading away the number one pick, the moves they didn't make because they believe in Cam Ward. To me, it's just a reshaping or restarting of an organization. So anything, you know, that this group does moving forward is either going to set this organization up for success, or you're going to continue to labor in below mediocrity. But you know, they made a statement, I believe, by choosing to keep the number one pick and where they believe they are headed, you know, in the next couple of years.
Mike Sando of The Athletic did a story looking at every AFC draft class and getting NFL executives' take on each team's draft class. He did one for the AFC, one for the NFC. So in the AFC story, here is what Mike Sando wrote about the Titans. Quote, "The two teams picking in the top five with new GMs, Tennessee and Jacksonville, were rightfully excited about the players they selected. But when Titans GM Mike Borgonzi invoked Patrick Mahomes while discussing number one pick Cam Ward, and when Jaguars GM James Gladstone, a.k.a. Doogie Howser, talked about Travis Hunter possibly challenging the boundaries of the sport, some execs saw no upside in setting expectations so high. In the Titans' case, Borgonzi was more measured than Gladstone, but both GMs are coming from places where elite head coaches got the most from the players their teams drafted. There's no Andy Reid in Tennessee, no Sean McVay in Jacksonville. One exec said, quote, there are so many things Kansas City had that I do not think Tennessee has, and then it's not the same player. You have to be really disciplined and understand that the worst thing you can do is put a young quarterback in a bad situation. Sando writes, that might be true, but how many times do GMs have their choice of quarterbacks in any one draft? One exec says, in the big picture, I think taking Cam Ward was a no-brainer for them, but if this was last year's draft, Ward probably would have been the fourth quarterback, another executive said, which is something we've heard quite a bit. So there was something else that Robert Mays and Field Yates discussed. He talked about specifically what the Titans did in the fourth round. Mm-hmm. They drafted Chimere Dike, Gunnar Helm, and Elik Ayomanner. And I had to get on Jared's case because he was butchering the pronunciation of Ayomanner. He was going Ayomanior, like Manion from
Chris Manion, yeah.
Right, from
or Ezra Manion. Vanderbilt has had back-to-back years with a different Manion.
Back in the day, back in the day, there was a radio host in D.C. when I was living there who thought my last name, which is Vingin, was pronounced Vignon,
like filet,
I like that.
As in filet vignon.
And correct. Should we start calling him Vignon?
Please don't. But when I corrected him and I said, I appreciate you making it sound fancier than it actually is, it's just Vingin, he ended up calling me Steak. That was the nickname that he gave me. Because you're well done.
Vignon to Vingin to Steak. Okay.
Yes. Shout out Danny Rouye back in D.C. But this is what Robert Mays said about what the Titans specifically did in the fourth round. Do we have that clip, David? We'll get to it. He'll get it. But nevertheless.
That's so diametrically opposed to Sando's take, right, where he was talking about the two GMs. Like, for Jacksonville to jump in and give up what they gave up to get one player in Travis Hunter, that's bold, right? Mm-hmm. It goes against the Nobel Prize winner. I don't remember his name, but he won the Nobel Prize, the 20-year study.
I told you,
but
we don't need
that's
those
the bold,
people in this arena,
right.
Willie.
That was the bold move, though, and Travis Hunter is going to have to be even arguably even better than Cam Ward to justify what they gave up to move up and get him.
David has that clip. So this was Robert Mays talking about specifically what the Titans did in the fourth round.
But what they did in the fourth round with DK from Florida, Gunnar Helm from Texas, and Iaminor from Stanford. Yep. What I love about that is they're such different players. And if you look at their pass catching group, we need some way to help the quarterback we just drafted first overall. Maybe we don't know the best path to that based on the resources we have. We're just going to try to volume shoot here. We're going to give him a bunch of different skill sets, and somehow, some way, hopefully on the other side with Calvin Ridley, this gives us a workable group of receivers, also with Tyler Lockett in the mix now.
Okay, so what I would say to that, I think it's sound thinking. These guys, they eat up every player in the draft. They've done all the research on these guys. I'm much more macro. I'm looking at the track record, right? What would be a good batting average? So they have these three offensive players that hopefully will be lined up alongside of Cam Ward. Mm-hmm. Honestly, long term, if one of them ends up being really good out of the three, that's a pretty good. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good, right? Because everybody else is going to a lot of people. Not everybody else. Some people are going to say they could have gone with a skill guy earlier, mm-hmm. right? They could have gone in, tried to get. What's the guy, Luther Burton, mm-hmm. in the second round? He was there. They could have taken him. You know, the people are going, we'll bring that up if Burton does well.
Oh, of course,
right?
They will.
But I like the idea. But the reality is they're not likely to go 3 for 3, and all three of these guys end up being really good players for them. I'd love to see it, but it's against you have to hope you get some hits out of this draft as a whole. It needs to be a good draft. That would really help. Get some momentum going, mm-hmm. but 3 for 3, I would take 2 for 3 and never even look at whatever happens with the third guy.
And I guess you could throw, if you want to, you could throw Xavier Restrepo in there, mm-hmm. if you want. I mean, he's an undrafted.
Yeah.
He's right. An undrafted.
He's going to get more attention than most right. Undrafted free agents.
Absolutely. Because he played with Cam.
Yes.
I mean, what he's saying, I guess in theory, like Willie said, okay, but I don't think you can. I don't think you're going to approach a young guy like that. We don't know what we have, so let's just throw all these pieces and just throw it out there and see what works. No, offenses don't work that way. I don't think coordinators work that way. They see their offense, they see their you know the potential that the offense has. They see the personnel and they find out how can we now. Either get the most out of these guys or tailor this offense to these particular players. You know, you're taking player over scheme. That's basically what he's saying. Which means if that's the case, then your scheme means nothing. Because if you say, well, he's just trying to throw guys out there, no, we got a scheme that we want to run. And I do say this. What I found is they got pass catchers. They got guys that are that are good pass catchers, that are reliable pass catchers. You look at the tight end. He's a gunner. What's
Gunnar Helm?
Yeah, Gunnar Helm. Good tight end, good hands. Look at DK. Good hands, catches the ball. Iomanner, good hands, catches the ball. None of them, you know. Presents this one little like elite thing, but they all catch the ball very well and they all can play, you know, either inside or outside. Now DK is more inside and Iomanner is more outside, but the thing is you're adding those pieces without the speed. I know he ran a 4.5, but I mean a 4.4, 4.3, whatever it was, but it doesn't look like that on film. So they got to try to find a way to condense his offense a little bit and allow these guys to find a role within an offense, but you ain't changing your offense.
The way I heard it, and I grant you that I may mm-hmm. have misheard it, but the way I heard it was that the Titans drafted receivers of varying skill sets to determine which one best fits with Cam Ward. That's how I heard it. I just want to make sure that
you're right. They made that point, and that's an interesting theory. I haven't watched these three guys close enough to really see all that. D-Mace has. I like that idea. The reality is, look, if whatever works, I think I'm emphasizing more that they found a way to get a few more tosses at the dartboard, which is what I think they need. The more times you have a chance to have somebody succeed, the more times you're going to hit.
Yeah, that is indeed the case, and it could be just that with these three guys, and then obviously Xavier Restrepo when they eventually sign him. I don't think they've signed him yet.
At least it's not official.
Yeah, it's not official yet. So he's going to be added in the mix. But what I just think you look at your offense because you drafted the quarterback because you felt that he can excel in this offense that you're running. Now you're going to bring him along slowly, but what you're doing is you're just adding good pass catchers. That's essentially all you want for a young quarterback. Is yes, the ideal thing is to have the guy that stretches the field, the guy that's quick in the middle, and then the other guy on the other side that can both go down the field but get you the rugged yardage, in between the hashes and stuff like that. Yeah, but typically you're trying to find people that are going to go out there and do what you're asking them to do, and go out there and be a target. A reliable target for the quarterback, because the last thing a young quarterback needs is a guy's dropping a bunch of footballs. And I'm going to say this, Calvin Ridley, you can't have a season like you did last year catching a football. You're a much better receiver than that. And with a young quarterback, those passes, those gimmies that you dropped last year, you can't have them. Because that takes away that trust that I have in you as a young quarterback. You got to gain that trust. So I would put that on him. Like, dude, you got to take initiative to make sure you're not that guy that is losing trust in a quarterback.
Let me ask you this, Derek. Mm-hmm. Which pass catcher do you think that Cam Ward is going to lean on the most? Calvin Ridley, who is his number one receiver in stature. He was the mm-hmm. number one receiver on this team this past season. Someone like Tyler Lockett, or even someone like Gunnar Helm. We don't know what Gunnar Helm's role is going to be. I know that Jared, among others, has stressed the importance of a young quarterback having that rock-solid tight end. Mm-hmm. Chigakonkwo is still there. Mm-hmm. Just going to put it out there. But Gunnar Helm had 60 catches, 7 touchdowns last season for Texas. I believe he was their leading receiver, at least in terms of receptions, if I'm not mistaken. Like, which player do you think Cam Ward will ultimately lean on most?
Well, outside of Calvin Ridley, I think it's going to be the tight ends, honestly. Let's say this. Anybody that's a inside receiver, a slot receiver or a tight end flex out, that's going to end up being his main guy, I believe. I think that Brian Callahan wants this offense to be multiple, but with a young quarterback, he wants to be able – there's a reason why they drafted Gunnar Helm. Big target, fluid, can run, really good hands. He's a guy that Cam can get the ball to quickly. Tyler Lockett, he's a guy that Cam can get the ball to very quickly. Chigakonkwo, he's a guy that they can get the ball to very quickly. And more than likely, that's going to be the matchup. That's going to be the matchup that's going to be advantageous for the Titans.
I thought Teron made a good point this morning on Robbie and Rex Road. He said, if you can get to the offense, he used the word restricted. Mm-hmm. Last couple years, I think, especially because of the woes of the offensive line. Mm-hmm. And Levis had something to do with it last year, the way he holds the ball, right? And the period of time he mm-hmm. played his rookie year. But they were restricted in what they could call. If they could run, it's hard to judge Brian Callahan's offense mm-hmm. because sometimes you're like, I'd like to see what this looks like with really good personnel where you could call everything you want to call. He clearly was restricted in what he could call. If Ward and this group of people, the offensive line takes a step forward, can at least run the offense that they envision. That's a good sign on a number of fronts.
615-737-1025, your thoughts on the Titans draft class. Robert Mays's comments on the Athletic Football Show about what message the Titans draft sent But coming up next, it's time to ask D-Mace. So call us, text us, 615-737-1025. Mostly nothing is off limits. So if you have a question for Derek, we already have a couple. You can get them in now. You can call us. You can text us. 615-737-1025. Join Big Joe and 1025 The Game from 10 a.m. to noon at Coleman Tractor of Nashville tomorrow for Kubota Orange Days. There will be exclusive deals on compact tractors, zero turns, and more with special financing available. Sale runs from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. with demos, deals, giveaways, and lunch from 11 to 1. That's at the Coleman Tractor of Nashville, located at 7221 Whites Creek Pike in Jolton tomorrow.
G-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now.
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app.
It's time for Ask D-Mace on D-Mace, Ben Ginnendonick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Call us, text us, 615-737-1025. Get your questions in for Derek. And I thought we should start on this one. Wes in Clarksville on our text line says, Derek, if your daughter decided to bring a new date over to the house for dinner and you didn't know who it was, then she shows up with Bill Belichick, what would your reaction be?
Oh, I think we sort of covered this earlier in the week, but,
why not do it again?
Yeah.
Shut the door in his face. Seriously, I would shut the door in his face.
You two have legend. You know, you guys have already talked smack. Yeah. I mean, we played the clip on the show.
I would shut the door right in both of their faces. Or if she's at the house already and he showed up, I would shut the door in his face and there would be no questions asked. You wouldn't come in my house. That's just me. Hey, listen, some parents are different from me.
Can you just imagine the setup, though?
A 72-year-old man show up at my house and my daughter's 20 and her age? No. That ain't flying. No. Nah, brother. Mm-mm.
Let's just do a quick, like, Dad, I want to bring this guy over. I've met him. He seems like a nice guy. His name is Bill. Mm-hmm. I want to introduce him to you.
First, she ain't going to even be able to get that far because I am going to grill her. And she'll tell you. I am going to ask those. She's going to eventually have to tell me the age.
So he's not going to get to the door.
He's not going to even get to the door. He's not going to even put my address into his cell phone to get directions. He's not going to be able to do that. Because the minute that she says, and he said, yep, uh-huh, that's enough. He ain't never coming to my house.
We're going into the Batcave.
The coordinates to
the Batcave will not be given out.
No.
Bill cannot find D-Mason's house. Man.
No, that's give me the ick, man. That's all I got to say. That gives me the ick. So, no. Who's that, Adam?
That was Wes in Clarksville.
Oh, Wes. It was Wes and Adam. Yeah. My fault, Wes.
That was Wes in Clarksville. Let's go to Wes in Hermitage.
Oh, it's all about okay.
Wes. From Wes to Wes. Wes in Hermitage on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHunting.com. Wes, please go ahead.
Willie, D-Mace, Steak, how we doing today?
What's going on? Steak is catching on. Okay. Steak is catching on.
You know, Vignon, look, man, you really, really hurt Morgan Wallen's feelings today.
I think he'll survive.
Yeah, he'll be all right.
Yeah, what's worse, being called Steak or Meatloaf?
Speaking of musical artists.
I mean, Meatloaf did make a lot of money, and Devondre Sweat seems to be doing okay. His nickname is also Meatloaf.
Yeah, true.
So I think the Meatloafs are winning.
Well, I got a dad joke for you because it's been a while, and it's probably time for me. I'm due for one, so.
Come on, you got to be more enthused, man. Come on, Wes.
Well, you know what? If you're excited about my dad joking, you know what? Let's go.
All right.
What do you get when you combine an elephant and a whale?
An elephant and a whale. Oh, I don't know. An elf?
Something
an
very heavy.
Swimming trunks.
Okay.
It's not bad.
That's a good one. Bad. See, you brought it. You brought the energy, nice. Man.
Yeah, man. My question for you, D-Mace, is this. I always try to center it around Jared for some reason. Oh, my God, I hate that guy so much. I really don't. He's a great dude.
He's fine.
What does Cam Ward need to do his first season as a quarterback of the Titans in order to get Jared a little excited that he might be good for this franchise. Happy Friday, guys.
Thanks for the call, Wes.
Jared already said, didn't he say win a Super Bowl or something to justify the pick?
Well,
I don't know.
The immediate reaction.
Yes.
The mini meltdown, as I've called it. Because it wasn't a full-blown Jared meltdown like when they drafted J.C. Latham. I remember Latham specifically because his immediate reaction is, I can't wait for Rand Carthon to be fired so I can be the grand marshal of that parade. But he said he better be Patrick Mahomes. That was his instant mini meltdown.
Uh-huh.
But how about a more measured.
Well, okay, let me say this.
Which is not a word that has ever been used to describe
you. Exactly.
Correct.
So if you're just talking about the normal person, what would the normal person consider, you know, good for a first-year quarterback coming in, looking at the roster that they have? I don't know, Wes, if it's more so about the record than it is about the development of the team and the quarterback, because I think if you had development in a quarterback, you had development in the team, because you believe you drafted him more overall that he can lift, you know, he can lift all the boats around him. So if he's getting better, if he's developing, just like you saw with Jaden Daniels, just like you saw with C.J. Stroud, those guys, as they started to develop within that offense, they started to unlock everybody else within that offense. And I think that's what, again, I'm not looking at so much of the record that I am looking at how is that team developing. And you hope the byproduct of that team developing, they have a good record. I picture this team, Wes, starting off slow, which it may drive Jared crazy. But then I think toward the middle of the season, they're going to start picking it up. And I think they're going to go on a run late in the season. Not a run to make the playoffs, but a run that may end up, you know, yielding them 8 wins for the season. I say that because I think that's how the quarterback's development is going to go. And then he's also going to be able to lift those other guys up. And make the team better as they start to go. So as far as record-wise, if you want like a definitive number, I think anything, 6 wins, frankly anything over last year, but I would say 6 wins may keep a normal person, should keep a normal person at bay. But
we're talking about the unreachable star.
Yes, Jared, it may take 10 wins. Okay.
I believe the over-under is 5.5, so 6 would be the over. Mm-hmm. Joey from Bellevue says, after sitting in traffic before and after seeing Metallica, my question for Derek is this. You're going on a trip to a concert, and you're stuck in traffic for several hours. If you had 3 passengers in the car, who are the 3 from the 1025 family you'd want to be stuck in traffic with?
I was about to say, the 3, I was about to say to my son, my daughter, and probably my good friend.
Nope, you're stuck with this bunch.
Yeah, I'm stuck with this bunch. Okay, let me see.
Sorry.
Three people. I would have I'm biased.
What's the event? It doesn't,
yeah,
doesn't
the three
specify.
Right,
it doesn't matter. It's not a concert, a game, a movie.
Joey says you're going on a trip. It says, or just a concert. So I guess it doesn't
stuck
matter.
In traffic.
You're stuck in traffic on your way somewhere.
Okay. Man, that'd be tough. But it just all depends on how I was going. I'd take my crew right here. But then if I couldn't take my crew, then...
Okay, so let's talk outside of the show.
Yeah, outside of the show.
You got to pick from the rest of the team.
So your choices
Nobody in this room.
Your choices are Rex Road, uh-huh. Robbie, Ian, uh-huh. Big Joe, Chase, Frazier, Jared, and Reed.
One, I would take Frazier because if anything happens to the car, anything else, Frazier would know what
to
do.
That's a great call.
Frazier would know what to do.
And I feel like Nick gives good conversation.
Yeah,
he's a good conversation.
He's
going to keep the conversation.
He's one of those guys, if it goes like silent, he'd just say something and it'll start up a whole new conversation.
Yeah. I think that's a good first round draft.
I see Frazier as the passenger who, let's say you have some sort of car malfunction and you're stranded and you have to camp out for the night. He knows how to make the fire by rubbing the sticks together, and he can make a shelter for all of you. So
hey, I would take Fraze. Fraze will be my number one pick.
Okay.
And then I would go with Chase.
Okay.
And then, God, it's a tough one. Said 3 people?
Yeah, so you need one more.
Ah, man, it would be between, If we're going out of town, see, I would keep Big Joe if we're staying in town because Big Joe knows everything around here. I keep Big Joe if we're going out of town. Man, I might Jared a retro. Jared a retro. Gosh. I may pick retro because he and I can talk like
old heads.
Old heads, yeah. Yes. We old heads. We can talk about Michigan State days and all that stuff.
Let me ask you this one question. When you are on a road trip, who is responsible for the music selection?
I am if I'm driving.
Okay, so the driver is
the driver, yes.
That's fair.
Jared would be the one switching every song. Like, nope.
No, he couldn't touch the radio. He couldn't touch it.
I absolutely see that.
He couldn't touch the radio. No, the driver.
I don't have a feel for Jared's control. Music.
Interest. I have this is legitimate. I have absolutely no read on what kind of music Jared listens to.
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
I have zero.
That's a
clue.
Good question.
Does he listen to music?
I think so. Doesn't everybody?
You would think, but Jared's not everybody.
For Jared, yeah,
I feel like Jared would put on Serious. Like if we're on this road trip,
you would be listening to Mad Dog Radio for 4 hours.
Yeah, we would listen to Mad Dog Radio.
This is what he would do. He said, "Let's pull up this classic episode of Jared and the GM from 2019. Let's listen to this."
Tell me, guys,
what you guys
think of what I said in this take right here.
Jared, if you're listening, because I know you're on the road to Atlanta right now. I have no idea what kind of music taste you have, brother. I legitimately don't know, and I want to know. But we'll get back to some of your questions at 615-737-1025. A lot of questions to get to at 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, The Game. D-Mace Vingan and Donick, 1025, 1063, The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. Before we get back to your questions for Derek, we do have some responses. Because remember, before the break, we all said that we have absolutely no read on what kind of music Jared Stillman listens to. Joel on our text line says, "Adam, we'll tell you all you need to know about Stillman's musical taste. He went to the Backstreet Boys concert when they last came to Bridgestone. Unbelievable."
Hey, some people still love Backstreet Boys.
One texter said, "Jared has said on the air before that he doesn't listen to music. Serial killer trait, just saying."
They could have a point there. They may just have a point.
A couple of texters piggybacking off of the question from Joey from Bellevue about the car trip and who you would have in the car. Viking Matt says, "I want Jared and Rexford in the backseat together and Chase as the mediator/ref. All I'm telling you is that I don't know if the two of you have ever made this idle threat. I'm going to turn the car around. If you don't behave, we're turning around," which I don't know if anyone has actually ever turned the car around, but Jared and Joe, I would absolutely turn the car around.
I may not.
Have either of you ever said that? On a car ride with yourself. Have you actually ever turned the car around?
I stopped.
We did one time.
You did turn the car around?
Yeah, and I was really upset.
It wasn't Willie's decision.
Are you blaming your wife?
No. We had to stick together. We had to stick with it. We put it out there. Now, I didn't make the call.
Yes.
But I had to go with the call. I had to honor the call. What do they say on the playground? Respect the call. Respect the call. When you're playing pickup ball.
Now, where were you going?
Well, see, this is the sad part for me. We were in my hometown of Orlando, Florida. We had a vacation going. The kids were really young, but they were just old enough to appreciate Disney World and all those places. So we were going to the different parks. You know, we had like a week long. On this day, we're going to the Magic Kingdom. On this day, we're going to Epcot Center. Then we're going to go to Universal Studios. You know, all these things. We had it all mapped out. The day we were going to go to Wet n' Wild. I had so many great fun times taking people to Wet n' Wild. I'm like, hey, I can take the kids to Wet n' Wild. This is great. We're going to go to the water slides and everything. And they got in a big, just a typical brother-sister spat. And they wouldn't cool it. And so we put the threat out there. If you guys don't cool it right now, we're not going.
Oh, no.
We're not going to go.
Hold on. No, before Willie said this, listen, I can just picture Willie. He's saying it, but he really don't believe it. He's like, just stop. Please stop.
Please
but Aaron, she was serious about it.
She put it out there.
Willie was like,
I don't know if secretly she didn't really want to go to Wet n' Wild or something, but
okay. We have it. We have I was
heartbroken.
Before we get to Doug,
I haven't been back to Wet n' Wild since.
Before we get to Doug from Nashville on our phone line, Jared has chimed in
with some musical taste.
Okay. Jared.
DJ, David, get ready for some of this stuff.
Jared, I just want to let you know that I'm a little embarrassed for you to read this on the air.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He says, I listen to Pop 2K, which is a channel on Sirius XM.
Yeah.
Music from 2000 through 2010. So think Hoobastank or Lil Wayne.
So he's across the gambit, huh?
Hoobastank. A little crawling in the dark, Jared? That was a banger back in whatever year that song came out.
So he really doesn't have, like, favorite. He's just listened to whatever in that era.
I just imagine Jared cranking up The Reason by Hoobastank and just belting his guts out. Jared, I'm sorry, buddy.
Hoobastank.
Doug is in Nashville on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Doug, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
Hey, fellas, I would say that Jared would listen to AM music.
It's possible.
No, not much. Yeah, no commercial. Not much.
But I've got a wide receiver question, mm-hmm. and it's about my son.
Okay.
Plays, you know, NAIA football, and the old quarterback's gone, didn't have a rifle. Mm-hmm. New quarterback steps in from the portal, and he got a cannon. I notice my son's hands drifting every time he catches the ball because it comes in hot. Of course, you know, I have routine things that I taught him back in the day to make his hands strong. Of course, what does dad know? So I always did the daddy trick. I had someone else to reach out and tell him the things that I knew would work, but I let him hear from another voice. Old daddy trick. Mm-hmm. My question to D-Mason, when you know that the quarterback has a strong gun and the hands are not sitting there steady, what do you recommend to make them stronger? Or do you know of a YouTube, because that's where kids are today, mm-hmm. of a guy that's putting out some good footage? Or third, ready to open up a school so I can sign him up and put him in?
Good call, Doug. Thank you,
Doug. Appreciate it.
Tips of when a guy just throws rockets.
Yeah.
And it's not the easiest ball to catch.
Because fortunately enough for me, but probably unfortunately too, I've had, like, from Jim Miller, who had a rifle for a right arm, to Tony Banks, who had a rifle for a right arm, to Steve McNair, who had a rifle for a right arm, and then Joe Flacco. So I've always played with quarterbacks that were known for a strong arm. And I remember going with Tony Banks my junior year in college, and he had just got there from JUCO. And this is my first time throwing to him, and I didn't know, like, how fast the ball was going to come in. He had this, like, long windup, kind of like Randall Cunningham. And, boy, I ran a slant. He threw that thing so hard, it went straight through my hands and hit my mouth and chipped the tooth. I said, okay, let me get myself on this jug machine and let me wear a helmet the next time I come out here and decide to just play around and throw the football with this guy. So, for me, with any quarterback, strong arm, it don't matter. Get on that jug machine as much as you can and crank it up, you know, to a speed that you can handle. That will help, you know, that will help your eyes, your eyeball hand coordination. That will help strengthen up your hands. And then there are things you can do in a weight room with these, you know, these grippers that they use that can tighten up or strengthen your grip, your forearm, and stuff like that.
So you spent time doing that,
strengthening your hands, you know, but I spent a lot of time on a jug machine just catching it from all angles, catching it at certain speeds, catching it with one hand, stuff like that. Because it's not only your hands, you're getting your eyes trained to the speed as well.
Matthew in Nashville says, Derek, any advice on how to get over your fears of rejection to ask out the girl you have a crush on?
Just ask. That's all.
I wish it was that easy for me.
I'm not saying that you know, it's easy. I'm not saying that, but I mean, I guess my thing would be just to strike up a lighthearted conversation. Try striking up a lighthearted conversation. If you see the person or if you are in the vicinity of this person, you know, a lot, find a way to strike up a conversation. And I think you can feel if somebody's sort of feeling you or not. I mean, you may not have to even say anything. You know, you may not have to, you know, because if she's not feeling it, you don't have to ask. You don't have to put yourself out there if you, you know, if you're a little scared. But if you see the conversation going well, you know, and she's feeling, you know, you're feeling the connection, she's feeling it, you'll tell, then you ask her out, man. But you're asking the wrong guy, man. I haven't been good at relationships.
Here's my tip. Never try.
No, you got to try, man.
I'm kidding.
You got to try, man.
I'm kidding.
You know.
I'm kidding.
And I've been there before where, you know, in my younger days where you're, you know, hesitant to talk to, you know, a female. And then you're always like, man, I wish I would have said something. So if you like this person, strike up a conversation in some way. Maybe do it in a funny way. I don't know. But, you know, if you never ask, you never know.
It's always interesting to hear the stories of how people met. If I recall the story that my parents told me, it was my mom was working on an assignment with one of my dad's roommates, mm-hmm. and she came by their apartment or dorm or whatever to meet up with that roommate to do the work. And my dad opened the door, and I think he had like a cotton ball in his nose because mm-hmm. he got a bloody nose playing intramural floor hockey or something like that. Goodness. And they struck up a conversation. Maybe that's where the hockey thing came from.
This reminds me of Back to the Future.
Back to the Future.
Yes.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Back to the Future, man. Say if your dad, you know, would have, you know, fell on the other side of the door and then the roommate came walking
up. There's going to be a picture of me fading?
Yeah.
Out of all of my baby pictures? Is that what's going to happen? Isn't that what happened at the
end? Yeah, it happened. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. I haven't seen Back to the Future in a minute.
I love that movie.
Jared, who must be listening very intently, his advice is shoot or shoot.
Hey, that, I feel you.
Okay.
If you're a shooter, brother, shoot. Take that three. Or take the two.
You know,
or you go to the free throw line. You go to the free throw line, make at least one of them.
Right.
You know, hey.
People don't have an appreciation for mid-range game
no,
anymore.
No, but don't try to shoot a full-court shot. Don't try.
Remember Brad Miller? Remember the basketball player Brad Miller?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
He was my guy. Those elbow jumpers, that's where I was.
If you know that's your game, the elbow jump shot, then take it all day.
What about you,
day.
Willie? What was your game?
My figurative game?
You take it any way you want to.
I'm on the bench.
Hold on, Willie was like, what'd you say?
I was
I did leave it unclear.
I was going back to my days in the Winter Park High School, you know, shooting.
Yeah, okay.
Shooting from the elbows. I needed an icebreaker. I kind of needed that. I needed somebody to kind of pave the way, you know, get something started.
Willie is absolutely.
Start up the conversation. Then I could slide in there.
Oh, you know.
I was not a good
initiator.
You know who you were like.
I pictured. Has anybody ever, and listeners, the Five Heartbeats. Have anybody ever seen the Five Heartbeats?
I've heard of that movie. I have not.
The two of the group members, they were brothers. So one of them, if one wanted to talk to a girl, the other one would go talk to the girl. He would play shy brother role. So the brother would go talk to the girl, and the other brother would be sitting at the table, and he'll go over there. Yeah, hey, how you doing, my brother?
Right.
He, you know, look at him. He looks.
So he'd break the ice for him.
Yeah, he'd break. And then the brother would come over there and then start talking.
It's kind of like in How I Met Your Mother. He goes, have you met Ted?
Yeah, see, there you go. Bring him on in.
I imagine Willie in his younger days walking up to a young woman and saying, excuse me, I have a question. How much does a polar bear weigh? Enough to break the ice. Hi, I'm Willie. 615.
I could never do that.
615. I was never that smooth when they actually tried that. 615-737-1025. You know what? We've had such great participation, and we're getting more texts.
Bonus time.
Bonus segment of Ask D-Mace coming up. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063. The game.